The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Welcome to the Tech Meme Ride Home for Tuesday, October 1st, 2019. I'm Brian McCullough. Today, listen in on Mark Zuckerberg rallying the troops. GoPro hopes newer cameras will revive its fortunes. Prepping for Microsoft's big event tomorrow, the SEC slaps a crypto company on the wrist, and Tesla's new smart summon feature has made for some interesting viral videos. Here's what you missed today in the world of tech. The Verge got its hands on some leaked audio from open meetings that CEO Mark Zuckerberg held with Facebook employees in July. Quoting The Verge obtained 2 hours of audio from the meetings, which include extended question and answer sessions between Zuckerberg and his employees. In language that is often more candid than he typically uses in public comments, Zuckerberg seeks to rally the company against Facebook's competitors, critics, and the U.S. government, end quote. So let me take some of these in reverse order, saving what is probably the most newsworthy audio for last. On those reports of straight-up PTSD that Facebook's contractors allegedly face when moderating content on the platform.
You know, some of the reports, I think, are a little overdramatic from digging into them and understanding what's going on. It's not that most people are just kind of looking at just terrible things all day long, but there are really bad things that people have to deal with. And making sure that people get the right counseling and space and ability to take breaks and get the mental health support that they need is a really important thing.
A lot of people think that TikTok is the new rising competitor that Facebook is facing slash wants to emulate slash maybe wants to kneecap. A Facebook employee asked, quote, "Are we concerned about TikTok's growing cultural clout among teens and Gen Z, and what is our plan of attack?" To which Zuck answers that TikTok has indeed surpassed Instagram in India in terms of what he calls scale, which I assume means number of users, but
we have a product called Lasso that's a standalone app that we're working on trying to get product market fit in countries like Mexico is I think one of the first initial ones. So we're trying to first see if we can get it to work in countries where TikTok is not already big, or we go and compete with TikTok in countries where they are big.
On how the rollout of Libra is going and the pushback from governments. Remember, this audio is from July.
The public things, I think, tend to be a little more dramatic, but a bigger part of it is private engagement with regulators around the world. And those, I think, often are more substantive and less dramatic. And they're not being, those meetings aren't being played for the camera. But it's that's where a lot of the discussions get and details get hashed out on things.
And then the section that has made most of the headlines so far, the question from a Facebook employee was, quote, "With the recent FCC fine investigation and with the rise of politicians like Senator Warren, I was wondering how personally worried you are about regulators coming in and breaking up Facebook," end quote. Zuckerberg says this later in his answer.
It's just that breaking up these companies, whether it's Facebook or Google or Amazon, is not actually going to solve the issues. And, you know, it doesn't make election interference less likely. It makes it more likely because now the companies can't coordinate and work together.
But he initially began his answer by saying this.
Like Elizabeth Warren, who thinks that the right answer is to break up the companies, if she gets elected president, then I would bet that we will have a legal challenge, and I would bet that we will win the legal challenge. Does that still suck for us? Yeah, I mean, I don't have to, have a major lawsuit against our own government. I mean, that's not like the position that you want to be in when you're, it's like we care about our country and like want to work with our government to do good things. And but look, at the end of the day, if someone's going to try to threaten something that existential, you go to the mat and you fight.
To which Senator Warren herself tweeted this morning, "What would really suck is if we don't fix a corrupt system that lets giant companies like Facebook engage in illegal anti-competitive practices, stomp on consumer privacy rights, and repeatedly fumble their responsibility to protect our democracy. I'm not afraid to hold big tech companies like Facebook, Google, and Amazon accountable. It's time to hashtag break up big tech, end quote. As many people pointed out this morning, the Warren campaign is likely counting its lucky stars this morning, quoting Jennifer Bendry on Twitter. Yet another thing at E. Warren can make a campaign ad about. Facebook, like Wall Street, is scared of her, end quote. Yes, one imagines that it might be useful to have quotes like this floating around in a Democratic primary season. Laura Olin tweeted, quote, "The gifts to Warren's fundraising team keep coming," end quote. GoPro has unveiled the $399 Hero 8 Black and $499 Hero Max cameras, available for pre-order today, shipping in October, and coming with three new modular add-ons. Quoting CNBC, "The Hero 8 Black is 14% lighter than the current Hero 7 Black and has a 12-megapixel camera sensor with improved HDR, which will improve pictures and video in low-light areas. It has new HyperSmooth 2.0 video stabilization to help smooth out bumpy video, wind noise reduction, and can shoot 4K video in addition to slow-motion video. The Hero Max has two lenses and can record sharper 5.6K video in 360 degrees. A new Max SuperView ultra-wide camera mode for fitting more of the scene into pictures and videos. It can live stream in 1080p and offers an option that lets people automatically back up videos and photos to the cloud. It also has six microphones, which GoPro says will offer the best stereo sound ever from one of its cameras. GoPro also announced three modular add-ons for the cameras. There's an $80 display mod with a 1.9-inch display that can fold into the front or back of the camera and help you better frame your pictures and videos. Also, a $50 waterproof light mod and a media mod, which lets you attach both the display mod and the light mod to the top of your GoPro, end quote. Brent Rose at The Verge already got his hands on the Hero 8 Black, and he already has his review up. He likes it. He likes that the Hero 8 Black doesn't require special housing for mounts. He likes that it's got improved image stabilization, but he does note that the camera tends to get a tad hot when recording. In his conclusion, he wrote, quote, "Overall, the Hero 8 Black is a worthy successor to the throne. It's easily going to be my go-to action camera starting now, at least until I get my hands on the GoPro Max in a month or so. And I'm more likely than ever to use it as a B camera on upcoming productions. Just wait until vloggers get their hands on this thing," end quote.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
An appeals court has upheld the FCC's 2017 repeal of net neutrality, but at the same time ruled that the FCC can't stop states from setting up their own net neutrality regulations, quoting Tony Rahm in The Washington Post. In a nearly 200-page opinion, judges on the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals sided with the FCC and its Republican chairman, Ajit Pai, who was appointed to his position by President Trump. While it said the agency must return to the drawing board on some elements of its appeal, the court upheld the legal underpinnings of the FCC's work, finding that net neutrality supporters had made, quote, unconvincing arguments in their efforts to override the FCC's deregulation of companies such as AT&T, Comcast, and Verizon. But the ruling still appeared to offer a lifeline to net neutrality supporters. It overruled an effort by the FCC to block states from adopting open internet protections of their own. The FCC preempted those regulations as part of its prior repeal, but the court determined the telecom agency had overstepped its authority. Lawmakers in California adopted their own net neutrality rules last year, only to be met by swift opposition from the Justice Department, which sued to stop their implementation, citing the FCC's legal blockade, end quote. Tomorrow, Microsoft will be hosting a hardware event here in New York City, and I'll be there live to hopefully come back with some hands-on impressions of the new gear. In prep for that, Microsoft appears to be clearing the decks of other news. For example, Microsoft is now allowing OneDrive users to expand to 1 terabyte of storage on OneDrive in 200 gigabyte increments. Also, Microsoft has launched OneDrive Personal Vault to protect folders using two-factor authentication. Both new features are already available globally. Quoting from Thurrott.com, OneDrive's new Personal Vault provides users with a secure place within their OneDrive cloud storage. The vault can only be accessed using a PIN or your phone's biometric authentication system. Personal Vault includes other features like automatic locking, BitLocker encryption on Windows 10, and restricted sharing. The feature first launched in Australia, New Zealand, and Canada, but Microsoft is rolling the feature out to all users worldwide today. For those users with the free or standalone 100-gigabyte plan of OneDrive, you will only be able to store up to 3 files in your personal vault, while everyone else will be able to store as many files as they want. Expandable storage on OneDrive is also launching today, meaning those with an Office 365 subscription can now expand their 1 terabyte storage in 200-gigabyte increments, starting at $1.99 a month for an additional 200 gigabytes of storage, end quote. And Microsoft has rolled out its Azure-based Windows Virtual Desktop globally with a Windows Virtual Desktop client app also available now for Windows, Android, Mac, iOS, and HTML5. Quoting Mary Jo Foley in ZDNet, WVD is a new service that provides Windows 10 virtualization along with multi-session Windows 10 capabilities and support for Windows Server, RDS Desktop, and apps. WVD will allow users to virtualize Windows 7 and 10, Office 365 Pro Plus apps, and other third-party applications by running them remotely in Azure virtual machines. Microsoft also will provide to WVD users the ability to virtualize their Windows 7 desktops with free extended security update support through January of 2023. That means customers who license and purchase WVD will continue to get security updates for Windows 7 after Microsoft officially ends support and security updates for the product after January 14th, 2020, for no additional cost, end quote. Crypto startup Block One, the team behind the EOS token, has settled with the SEC for $24 million in penalties for conducting an unregistered security sale. This was one of the closest watched security enforcement actions made by the SEC in the crypto space surrounding initial coin offerings. Block One had raised around $4.1 billion via an initial coin offering. So this fine represents 0.58% of the initial raise, which is, you know, not exactly going to deter people from doing something like this. An SEC press release, quote, highlighted that Block One's token sale began shortly before the SEC released its DAO report, but, quote, continued for nearly a year after the report's publication, end quote. The company did not secure an exemption from securities registration requirements and did not otherwise register the sale, the SEC said. In its own press release, Block One said the settlement only applies to the sale of the original ERC-20 token it sold. EOS holders swapped their Ethereum-based tokens with the proper EOS tokens when the network first went live. More significantly, Block One's statement said that its ERC-20 token is no longer in circulation and, quote, will not require the token to be registered as a security with the SEC, end quote. So the way I'm reading this is, the pre-product, the pre-launch version of what eventually became EOS, was a security in the SEC's eyes, but after the swap out to the EOS token, the EOS token itself is not a security. And beyond paying the fine, Block One doesn't have to give any of the money back to investors that it raised. So here's Ryan Taylor's take on Twitter, quote, "The settlement actually doesn't state one way or the other whether the post-launch EOS token is a security or not. It doesn't even attempt to opine either way. However, the fact that the SEC focused only on the initial sale is telling of their priorities," end quote. On top of that, it's actually hard to read the SEC's tea leaves here because the SEC still seems to be coming down hard on Kick for something essentially similar. I have no skin in this game whatsoever, but I will quote Mike Dudas here from Twitter, quote, "Champagne corks are flying at Block One HQ tonight. Cheers, we got away with it," end quote. Finally today, remember when I told you that the biggest software update in the history of the Tesla platform finally brought that new smart summon feature to Tesla cars last week, the feature which allows the car to drive to you in, say, a parking lot situation? Yeah, well, videos of owners actually trying out the feature have gone viral online since then, showing, shall we say, varying degrees of success. To see some of the videos yourself, do click through to the link from Jalopnik in the show notes, who says, quote, "On the plus side, sure, smart summon is great for impressing people and not getting wet in the rain or having to walk to your car, possibly with a bunch of heavy crap, but at the same time, when has it ever been okay to attempt to be in control of your car from potentially across a parking lot? There's plenty of cases where smart summon has worked just fine, and yes, people do stupid stuff in parking lots every day. Tesla does specify that it's a beta release, which is fine for most software, but does it make sense when that software is driving a full-size car in a public space? This is a tricky one. I'm pretty sure we'll see more smart summon issues and fender benders because the world is messy and confusing. I reached out to Tesla for comment and will update when I hear something," end quote. Again, watch the videos. There have already been fender benders documented. There's been cars shown to run into garage walls in their own driveways. But the larger point here is it's absolutely amazing that Tesla has just thrown this admittedly beta-labeled product out into the world. On this weekend bonus episode, you're going to hear a story that I'd never heard before about the reason Waymo decided it had to go for full autonomy. The reason it decided it couldn't do half measures with limited versions of autonomy was because, with humans still in the equation, making decisions, it was just too potentially messy. And yet here's Tesla just being like, go ahead, give this a go. Just like they've done with their autopilot feature. Actually, I'm going to straight up plug this right now. This weekend's bonus episode is an interview with Waymo's head of hardware, Satish Jayachandran. Guess where Satish worked before moving to Waymo? Tesla, where he was the director of hardware engineering for Tesla's autopilot team. That is all for today. Get ready for some big Microsoft news tomorrow, kiddos. Talk to you then.